Blog Talk Radio.
Prepare to be uplifted and encouraged to live the life you were created for. Prepare to receive motivation from someone who truly wants to see you thrive. Prepare to start living life more abundantly. Welcome to Living Abundantly with Tamika Patrice Kane on WALN, the Abundant Living Station. Here's your host, award-winning author, media personality, blogger, poet, motivator, and founder of Say What Book Club, Tamika Patrice Kane.
Good evening, and welcome to Living Abundantly. I am your host, Tamika Patrice Kane. And on this thankful Thursday, I am thankful that even when it appears that there's no way, there is always a way through Christ. And we can truly do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we like to start the broadcast off on Thankful Thursday with just a moment to express gratitude. No matter how difficult things may be or how challenging the times may have been, no matter how rough the road is that you may be on right now, there's always something to be thankful for. And it just helps to spend a moment and to just kind of rehearse the things that God has done for you and to rehearse the blessings that have been apparent in your life. And when you do that, it just seems to make whatever it is that you're going through seem not quite so disturbing, not so challenging, not quite so difficult. Expressing gratitude also gives us an opportunity to touch base and to remind ourselves that the same God that got us through level one is well able and capable and willing to get us through the next level as well. We know that the Word tells us that He takes us from glory to glory and from strength to strength and from faith to faith. And so if we have seen the power of God moving and doing things on level one, His power doesn't decrease, it increases. His ability doesn't decrease, it increases. His willingness doesn't decrease, it increases. And so if He has done something in your life before, we know that we can stand strong and He will do things at even a greater level. And I'm reminded just now, and I didn't look it up because, of course, it wasn't on my mind, but I'm reminded just now of a passage of Scripture where David had some challenges that he had to face. And before he got to the point where he was fighting the giant and had that victory, there were some smaller victories that he had along the way, you know. And then by the time he, because of the smaller things that he had seen God deliver him through, bring him through, you know, where he was able to stand victorious knowing that, you know, hey, I can put my faith and my confidence in the ability of God because he's brought me through. So when the next level of opposition would come, he had something to be able to grab hold of so that he can latch his faith on and say, okay, I've seen God move in my life in this way. And though the circumstances may not be exactly the same, I have still seen God move in my life in this way where I was able to come out victorious, where what was supposed to overtake me wasn't able to do so, whereas what was supposed to confound me wasn't able to do so, whereas what was supposed to destroy me it didn't work, it didn't manifest. And so we know there's another scripture that talks about how there's no weapon that is formed against you that shall prosper. And so because he had seen God move in his life on smaller levels, when it came time to face the giant, he was able to do that, you know, seemingly with no fear. Or even if he had fear, he still, the confidence that he had in the ability and the willingness of God to stand strong for his behalf, you know, that meant so much to him. He was able to strengthen himself and encourage himself and remind himself that, hey, God has done this thing for me before. He'll do this thing for me again. And so if you remember that particular passage, you know, there were kind of trained people who were around and that were wanting to, they were fear, they were fearful, and they didn't want to have to be the one chosen to fight the giant. But the giant was terrorizing the land, and so, you know, they had their armor and all that stuff that they would wear, you know, and so David actually puts on, you know, all of that stuff, and he's like, I don't know how to work with this. And so, you know, he didn't know how to work, you know, with that stuff because he wasn't trained in that. You know, he was just a shepherd out there just dealing with the sheep. What he had was just a strength, a great strength and ability in who God is and God's power to be able to be victorious. You know, and so, you know, he grabs a few stones, you know, and just, you know, propels it forward, you know, and while these people, these big guys, these big, strong, strapping guys are afraid to face this giant, you know, they're like, I don't think so. You know, here he was willing to say, you know what, I have no faith or confidence in myself to do this, but I do have faith and confidence in my God to be able to do this thing. And so, you know, because like I said, he had seen God moving his life in other ways previously. And so he was able to strengthen himself and encourage himself in the power of God to be able to do what it was that needed to be done. Such, you know, and that's so powerful to me. And so for you and for I, you know, sometimes we have to just rehearse our own testimonies. And, you know, and there are times when things are so dark and so bleak, it's difficult to find a praise. It is difficult to find something to be thankful for, you know, when everything else is falling apart all around you. But yet, if you can step back and remove yourself from the circumstances, from the situation just a little bit, you can see the hand of God. There's and I meant to look this one up and forgot. The thought hit me when I was in the car, and when I got to where I was stationary and could look it up, I forgot to do that. But that's okay. It's still coming back to mind. There's another passage in the Old Testament where there is a lady, and there's a drought, a famine in the land, and there's no money, you know, and there, and she and her child are hungry, and they are basically, you know, they're going to die. And so, you know, the specific situation was that her husband had passed away and left them in debt, and they were going to take her sons to pay off the debt. Now, of course, you know, when you're a parent, you know, you love your kids. You're not going to put your kids in danger to be able to, you know, to do anything like that. And so she goes to the prophet, and she's thinking that the prophet is going to give her resources in order to be able to get herself out of debt, and he doesn't. Instead, he asks her a question, and he's like, okay, what do you have in your house? Now, her mind, she's thinking, I don't have anything. I absolutely do not have anything at all. And yet, you know, and then she says, well, I mean, just a little bit of oil. I mean, and she does mean just a little bit. And so he says, ah, great, that's something I can work with. So he sends her sons out to go borrow vessels, you know, big cauldrons, pots to be able to put stuff in, and then they hold themselves up in there, and then they begin to let this little bit of oil that she has pour into these vessels, and then the miracle of God takes place. Now, this is very important because many times we are waiting on a miracle. We are praying for a miracle. We are expecting a miracle. We know that he's able to do miracles, and yet what we see here is that she had to exercise her faith and his and the ability of God to be able to do something for her, but he gave her an assignment. It didn't just come. And so sometimes we will be praying for things and asking for things, and instead of him saying, oh, sure, I'm going to just do this thing for you, what he'll give you instead are instructions. That's very important. And so it's as you follow the instructions that you will actually see the miracle that you're seeking. You know, there may be work involved in getting the miracle. We don't usually want to hear that when our back's against the wall and it's 11:59 and everything is due at 12 o'clock and you got like a minute. We don't want to hear that there's something that we have to do, but sometimes there's something that we have to do. So what he tells her to do is to go and borrow some vessels and give him this little piece of this little pot of oil that she's got. And she does that, and then a miracle begins to take place. And so they, you know, this oil that was supposed to basically not be enough of much of anything to accomplish anything, God, as they began to pour it out, you know, they were able to see him just fill up all these vessels. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until after they ran out of vessels that the oil stopped, because at that point it would have been wasteful. And then he tells her, okay, but did you catch what I just said? You know, now here they have nothing. He tells her to go borrow some stuff, you know, to be able to do what needs to be done. And then his power comes upon the situation for her to be able to, for this oil to flow. And flowed so freely, so abundantly, that they ran out of vessels before the anointing stopped flowing. Okay, that's something to really kind of think on and to meditate on. There's a you'll see in scripture sometimes it'll say Selah, which means to pause and think of that, right? So stop and have a Selah moment with that. You know, they ran out of vessels before the anointing stopped flowing, before the blessing stopped flowing, okay? And so then the next set of instructions comes, like, okay, all right, now that you've done that, I need you to take these vessels, you take this oil and go sell it, pay off your creditors, and then live off the rest of it. And so what she was expecting was initially just a handout. She thought that he was going to give her some money, you know, or, you know, take care of the debt or whatever. And he's like, but that's not going to help her overall with some things. And so, and sometimes we look to people and they are literally just not in a position to be able to financially support us. But you know what? When you are in that situation and you are reaching out to people and they just can't do what it is that you want them to do, you know, instead of copying an attitude that they're not doing what you want them to do, what you need to see is that God has purposed for them to not be able to assist you in that situation, because he doesn't want you leaning on them. Now, there may be someone that he has assigned to you, but many times what he's trying to do in the midst of those situations, he doesn't want you depending on man. He wants you to depend on him, because ultimately he's Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. And so if you're constantly seeking people, this person and that person, you know, pay my bills and do this for me and support me and feed me and whatever else, you know, then you miss opportunities to be able to let your faith grow in the power of God and what he's able to do. There's in the Old Testament, when he comes to Moses for the first time, you know, and he's he has chosen to manifest himself as a bush that's burning that does not get consumed. Now, okay, you know, whenever we have seen things that are on fire, you know, it's not very long before we see destruction that is irreparable, right? We just, it can't be fixed. You know, and yet here is this bush that's burning. It's literally on fire, and yet it's not being consumed, okay? And so, you know, and he's looking at this, Moses is looking at this, and he's like, what is this great sight? Let me stop and check this out, because I've never seen anything like this before. You know, and then he begins to speak and has this conversation with the pre-incarnate Lord. You know, and he says, you know, well, all right, so God gives him this message. And he's like, okay, so you want me to go back and tell the people that I got a message from who? Who are you? You know, right. And the message came from something that was in a bush that wasn't consumed. Yes, that makes perfect sense. Okay. And sometimes he will really have us doing stuff that just seems like it's so completely in left field somewhere. And oftentimes we will feel like we look like complete idiots doing the stuff that he tells us to do. And yet when we do what he tells us to do, there are blessings there for the obedience. There are miracles waiting in the midst of the obedience. There's just things that can't even be counted. You know, just the greatness and the gravity of what it is that he's trying to do, the magnitude of what he's trying to do. And so we don't see the end result before we decide to make the act, do the thing that he's told us to do. We don't get to see the result of what it is that he has promised us, that he has planned for us, that he has in the works for us, until we actually take the step and do what it is that he's told us to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He blesses the obedience. And so, you know, now, you know, he tells us to live by faith, to just live by faith. We don't just think about faith. We don't just, you know, decide, you know, here and there that we're going to, you know, try this faith thing on. We'll consider faith. No, he tells us to live by faith. And so, you know, if he lays everything out for us before, you know, we ever do anything, then that requires no faith on our part. And sometimes he will push us in our faith walk till it's 11:59. He absolutely will, you know. And is it uncomfortable? You better believe it's uncomfortable, because you're like, look, okay, if I was doing this stuff on my own, there would be no droughts. There would be no lacks. There would be no areas of my life where I have to sit up here and depend on some being that I can't even see to manifest some stuff for me, you know. And so, but yet, each time we see him come through, it's a faith builder, you know. Because remember, he takes us from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory, all of that. And so if there is no level one to start on, then when we get to level two, we have nothing to refer back to. So we need these steps and these journeys. And there are times when he just, you know, it like I said, it comes with instructions, okay? And so we have to do the thing that he tells us to do. As a matter of fact, now I'm thinking about another passage of scripture in Joshua. And in context, Moses has passed away, and that entire generation has passed away because of their disobedience and lack of faith and all that. And Joshua and Caleb are ready to take this next generation into the promised land. And so, you know, God gives them some instructions, and he gives them, first of all, a parameter, which is very important. You know, anywhere that your foot shall tread within these boundaries, I shall bless, okay? And, you know, that sort of thing. And so that's important, because many times we want to just pick where we want to go. We want to, you know, we want to pick the job. We want to pick the place. We want to pick the spouse. We want to pick it all. You know, we want to do what we want to do, you know, and yet, you know, our steps are ordered, you know, and the book was written before we ever even lived one day of the ultimate plans that he has for our life. Now, he does give us free will, and he will not override our free will. And sometimes, honestly, you know, while it's a blessing to have free will, sometimes it feels like a curse, because, you know, if you are even remotely rebellious, you know, your free will take you out of the will of God. You know, it will make things difficult. But what the devil means for bad, God will turn it around for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. And I think that would be you and I, right? Are we loved by God, and are we called according to his purpose? Well, you better believe that we are. And so, you know, even though, you know, that free will of ours can veer us off the ultimate path, God has manifold ways of being able to manifest his blessings and manifest his purpose in our lives. And so, you know, even when we get off track and off course, he will find some kind of way to reroute us. He will find some kind of way to use that low place that we've been in, those struggles and those trials that we've been in. He will find a way to be able to use that stuff and ultimately align it again with our journey. And so the one thing that we must remember is that we are not here just for ourselves. We are not here just because, you know, we have something to do or we have something to say, that sort of thing, where it's just about us. Instead, even the stuff where we struggle is very much in line with other things that God has for us to do. And so, like, the areas of struggle that I have had in my life are not just for me, but there are other people who will cross my path, and they need my testimony. They need to know my journey. They need to know the things that I have been through, because my making it through is what they need in order to be able to get themselves through. He says that people are set free by the blood of the Lamb, we know that's Jesus, and by the word of our testimony. So we have to, you know, we have a testimony there. There's power in our testimony. There's power in knowing that we have been through some stuff and we came out on the other side, and on the other side of it we were victorious. That's powerful. And that's the thing that other people need in order to be able to get themselves through. And so it's not in vain, you know. And so even when it looks like, you know, it's this strange, you know, off the beaten path, you know, field kind of thing, he still manages to use it for our benefit and also for his glory, and also to be able to help other people. And so, you know, that's what it's all about, more than anything, more than money, more than resources, more than accolades, more than titles, more than positions, any of that. What God values, I mean, truly values, is people. He cares about how we treat people. He cares about how people deal with each other and what they do to each other. You know, we've seen so many cases in recent months, you know, of police brutality, and it would look like on the outside that God doesn't care about a specific group of people, but that is so far from the truth. You know, he cares about us. He cares when, you know, when someone is going through and some routine traffic stop becomes, you know, some violent episode that could possibly end in death. He cares about that. And he cares about us. And so, you know, how we deal with people matters. If we're lying to folks and using people and, you know, and mistreating people and, you know, and just otherwise, you know, saying that and using people, that stuff matters. And not only does it matter, but then you have that whole thing of reaping and sowing that comes into things. May not happen right when you think they're going to happen, but we don't get out of cause and effect. And so, you know, you have to kind of think about that. Like, if you're using people, if you are lying to people, if you are mistreating people, if you are playing games with someone's heart, if you are, you know, just running renegade over people and you don't care, you know, how your actions and the things that you're doing affect others, you are opening up some karmic action, you know, that you may not be prepared for. And so, you know, I warn people sometimes to be mindful of the way that they're treating people. Be mindful of what you're saying to someone. How are you talking to that person? What are you doing to this person? You know, because you don't want to open yourself up and have a whole bunch of negative stuff happen to you because you're out there dogging folks out. You don't want that. And it always seems like there's some unrelated situation to, you know, some blessing or promise that we're waiting on. It seems like they're unrelated. And yet, you know, the thing that looks like it's way over here on the left is absolutely tied to what's going on the right. And we don't always get that. We need to get that, but we don't always get that. And so we just go out there and just do what we do, never quite realizing, you know, there are things that we're supposed to do and things that we're not supposed to do. And when we violate, you know, each other, and we mistreat each other, that there's a price to be paid for that, you know? And so, I mean, but he doesn't stop us. He will warn us, but he doesn't stop us because he's given us the gift of free will. And so let your free will take you into a good place. Let your free will lead you into the will of God. I mean, and I know that's sometimes so difficult for people, and yet we make things so much more difficult for ourselves, running renegade and doing things our own way. And it's not that he doesn't love us. Oh, absolutely. I mean, we are loved unconditionally, no matter what we do. We can, you know, kill people and rape people and beat folks and you know, and lie and steal and cheat and all kinds of stuff. And the love that he has for us never wavers. It absolutely doesn't change. And, you know, that just, sometimes that's so mind-boggling for us to really like conceive, because we're so used to, first of all, judging each other, and we judge ourselves too, you know, and we think, oh, well, you know, this is worthy of love and this isn't. This person is worthy of, you know, of this kind of treatment and this person isn't. But the truth is, in God's eyes, we are all worthy of love, you know, and we are worthy of his love, and he's glad to give us his love. And it's difficult sometimes to really receive the love that God has for us. And like our first example of who he is our parents, you know, or whoever the adult are that are in your life. And so if your parental figures are, if they are abusive, if they are harsh, if they're critical, if they're judgmental, you know, if they are, you know, if you can never do anything right, you know, if you got all this stuff going on, then we think that God is judging us and dealing with us in the same kind of light, because the only example we have of him would be them. And so many times, you know, parents in their humanness, in our humanness, because I'm a parent too, you know, we sometimes taint and make it difficult for our loved ones to have a relationship with the Lord because we think that he's judging everything. We think that he is trying to find us doing something wrong. We think that he is looking at us through the same eyes and with the hand raised that other people have looked at us at, but he's so different. His ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. They're so much higher than our own. And so for those of you who are out there really struggling to understand and to even believe that God loves you, you know, whether you really hear me or not, don't hear my words, but hear him through my words telling you, I love you. You know, God loves you. It's unconditional, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing you could do, nothing you have done that will separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. 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 And so you really need to know that, you know. And so, you know, we talk about different aspects of things about living abundantly and this whole authentic stuff on the show. But I am just really feeling right now, you know, mirror work is so important, you know, and I don't know if you, you know, you think about it, but sometimes when you're dealing with people who either want to brainwash you or who are abusive, they will sometimes look a person, have a person look in the mirror and speak horrible things about themselves to themselves, you know. And so, and there's just something about mirror work that is so significant. It just reaches such a deep place. But you know what? The reverse is also true. It can really be used as a very powerful tool to build yourself up too. And so, you know, look in the mirror and tell yourself, I am loved by God unconditionally. I am wanted by God unconditionally. You know, it may be very difficult to say. I mean, the first few times you try and say something positive about yourself in the mirror, you know, you're probably going to cry because it just rips. Obviously, I've been here and done this, right? You know? And it just rips because it flies in the face of everything you know, everything you feel, everything you've been through, you know, even the inner thoughts and feelings that you have that you never share with anybody. He totally gets it. He knows he's there, you know. And what we reveal to him, he can begin to start healing. So when you look in the mirror and tell yourself, you know, I am a worthwhile being. I deserve love. I deserve to be in love. I deserve to give love. I deserve to have love. And I am loved unconditionally by God. You know, like it begins to do something on the inside. And like I said, the first few times you do it, if you're not used to it, it will really just, it'll feel like you are just ripping and just, you know, you may cry and have this totally emotional response. But you know what? Have the response, you know, because at some point, the words that you're speaking over yourself while you're looking your own self in the eye and telling yourself, I am a person of great worth and value. I deserve the best that life has to offer. I am open and receptive to all good that life has to offer. You know, it is getting on the inside of you. It is changing the blueprint that has been broken or that has been that has errors in it. And we just, it's almost like that blueprint thing is, you know, those are the things that you've heard and the thoughts that you have and the values that you've learned and all this stuff, you know, and it just replays over and over and over and over again. And it's almost like being a computer. And when you type a document and then print it, any errors that's in the computer will print up on the document. Now, you can do something like, you know, put white up on it, you know, and kind of fix it on the paper. But in the computer, i.e. in your mind, you know, it will still be the same until you get in there and change what's actually in that computer, until you change what's in your mind. And so that's your blueprint. And so, you know, it. And how you do that is through the things that you confess. There's such power in the things that we say. As a matter of fact, when we think about the awesome creative power in our tongues, God spoke the world into existence. He formed man and created man, but he spoke the world into existence. Think about that. And so, you know, like that's how powerful the things we say are. That's how powerful what comes out your mouth is. God spoke the world into existence. You know, and so, but the same creative power that he has made available, or that's available to him, that is who he has made available to us. And so we have the ability to speak ourselves into the life that we want. And it can be difficult, especially if you're not familiar with the process. And you know what? There'll be times when you will lapse back into old stuff. Don't beat yourself up. Just catch it and keep it moving, and go back to speaking what you want. And so sometimes it helps to have like a list of confessions. You know, what are you believing to? So it's not, oh, I don't want such and such. Instead, it's, I want this. I will have that. You know, not, oh, I don't smoke. You know, but because there's something about the way the mind processes it, that when you give it something, when you give it something negative to process, it just doesn't receive with the same power as when you're speaking something that's positive over yourself. You know, it's not, I don't want to smoke. It's, I live a smoke-free life. You know, I am free from addiction. You know, I love wholeheartedly. I give and receive love wholeheartedly. I accept love. I am open and receptive to all good. You know, and so you just think about whatever areas it is in your life where you need some things. And so, and then just begin to form some positive confessions and speak that stuff over yourself over and over. And don't forget, you know, there may be times when, like, when you first start, it may feel foreign, it may hurt you to say it, but go ahead and speak it anyway, because, you know, at some point, the truth of those words will line up with your subconscious, and it will become, you will feel it on the inside of you becoming real to you. And you need that realness. You need that realness. So it's good. And you just let it be what it is, right? So that's where we are. And, you know, you are just, it's like you just give yourself permission to just be where you are, accept yourself where you are, but also at the same time, you say, I love myself so much that I'm not the one to just stay right where I am. And that's how it is with God. He loves us right where we are unconditionally, and we can choose to never do another thing, and he will still love us, and that love will not change or alter. But he does love us so much that he prefers that we allow ourselves to stretch and to grow. You know, he prefers that we be able to do that. And so, you know, ultimately, his plan is that we have the abundant life. And that's what this show is all about, living abundantly. It's based on John 10:10. The thief comes, but not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come that you may have life and that you may have it to the full. You know, that you may have the abundant life. And so that's what we talk about on this show, all the things that get in the way of our being able to have the life that Jesus has made available to us. You know, that's the stuff we talk about here on Living Abundantly, but it requires being honest with who we are, honest with where we are, you know. And many times we don't want to take that look in the mirror and say, oh, my God, I am really, like, I'm a liar. I lie to people, you know. I hurt people. I really play, like, you know, I really play with people's emotions, or, you know, whatever your thing is. You know, it can be difficult to be honest with ourselves about where we are, but it's that honesty, you know, once we reveal it, then he can get in there and start to heal some stuff. So we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest about what's going on, you know, what we need, where we are, where it is that we want to go, where we're happy, where we're not happy, you know. And I say this sometimes, and people, I really hope, get it. You know, like, there'll be times when, I have two different sets of thoughts running through my mind right now. But one is, there'll be times when there's something hurting us, and that pain is an indicator that something is wrong. And so we have to do something about it. But the other thing is, there are times when we become uncomfortable. And before, you know, when a bird has a little birdie, you know, the mother is doing everything for that bird. You know, it's feeding it, and it has feathered the nest, and everything's very comfortable. And yet, when it's time for that bird to begin to leave the nest, the bird will begin to start picking at the nest and make it, the baby bird is uncomfortable, you know, so that it has to leave the nest. And so it's a process. And so you may find that all of a sudden, like, areas of your life are so uncomfortable right now. Stuff that you used to be okay with, stuff that used to not bother you at all of a sudden is just working your last nerve. And it's like, where does this fit in with anything? And yet that's God doing the bird thing, the mother bird thing, where he is making the nest uncomfortable because he needs you to go get out of the nest and go on to the next thing. There's somewhere he's trying to take you. There's some greatness he's trying to bring you to, but you won't stay there or have that if you stay in the same place and keep functioning the same way. And we know that there's scriptures in the New Testament that talks about we need a new wineskin. And it also says that if you pour new wine into old wineskins, it will actually cause the skin to burst, and then you lose everything, right? And so what that means for us, the wineskins apply to our mindsets, our patterns, our behaviors, the things that we do, but you can't take old mindsets into new places because you'll mess it up. You know, you can't take your old ways of doing things into a new relationship because you're going to mess it up. You know, you're not dealing with the same person you'd been before. You can't take your old ways that got you fired from one job into the next job because you're going to mess it up. You know, and so what he does while we are waiting on manifestation is he begins to work on our mindsets about things. He begins to show us our patterns. He begins to show us our behaviors and show us ways to rectify that and to change some things so that we are able to receive it. Now, you know, when you have children, you want them to have everything. You know, you definitely want them to have a life that looks better than yours. And so you put things in place, provisions in place, but you're not going to give your six-year-old a Bentley. You know, you probably wouldn't even give your 15-year-old a Bentley. You know, and so even if the child was able to drive, you know they're not ready for that. And so, you know, there's things that you do to help the child gain levels of responsibility so that they can not just have the best and to have more, but to be able to keep it. So he says in his word that our gifts make room for us and will place us before great men. But it's not enough just to have a gift that will take you there. You need to change some things about yourself. Your integrity has to be tight. Your behaviors have to be tight. Your actions have to be tight in order to be able to keep you in that great place he's taking you to. It doesn't make sense for you to be waiting all these years, to have a love, you know, if you're going to still just be selfish and self-centered and egotistical and mean. You know, what will that do? That will tear that relationship apart quicker than you can even blink an eye. You know, and so you don't want that. Not when you have longed for a thing and he finally brought the thing, you need to make some adjustments so that you can accommodate the thing. And so, you know, you can apply those principles to any area of your life, really, you know. And so he's willing to do the stuff, but he also knows that there are times when we have to do some work in order to prepare us and to get us ready for what it is that we're asking for. We aren't born just ready for some things. And I, you know, many of you know that I write, and so you know, and I actually write for I write a column for a magazine that has to do with like writing stuff. And so, you know, I talk to authors and stuff all the time, and you know, and it tickles me because everybody thinks they're ready for Oprah. Everybody's ready for the New York Times bestsellers list. Everybody's ready for Oprah's book club. No, you're not. You don't even do an interview. You know, if you can't do an interview, a little blog talk radio interview, how are you going to do Oprah? You know, and so there are steps along the way, and there are things that we do to hone our skills. There are things that we do to grow ourselves, you know, to work out some stuff. But we have to be willing to do those things. And if we're not willing to do those things, then when we do get to that place where, you know, that place in the spotlight, that place we've been waiting for, we won't have what it takes to keep us there and to keep us functioning and make it work. And so there are things that we have to do. So sometimes we, like, despise the journey, but he tells us to not despise the day of small beginnings. You know, we need those small steps, you know, first of all, to remind us, you know, like, he is able and he's willing. You know, first of all, this takes us right back to David and what we were talking about. you know, and even with the lady with the oil and everything, you know, she needed to see God move in her life like that, you know, and now the next time if anything ever comes up and she or her children get in struggle, she will know how to reach God and seek him on her own behalf and say, hey, you know, all right, Lord, I've seen you do some things. I need to see you do some more stuff for me, you know, and her strength in him will be, well, her faith in him will be strengthened, you know, and what she is able to believe him for and all of that. Her confidence in God will boost because of the things that she's seen him do. And so it's that same way with us. It's that same way with you and with me. You know, whatever it is that we are going through, whatever it is that we need to see a move take place, where have you already seen God move in your life? Have you seen him do some things for you before? You know, because if he's done something before, then that's already something that you can kind of meditate on and remember, like, yes, yes, I've seen God do this. I saw when the car had broken down and I didn't have any money to fix it, and all of a sudden, you know, some check came in the mail. I have seen where I didn't have the resources for this thing over here, and all of a sudden a door opened up, you know, a job came through, I baked some cakes, whatever it is, you know, whatever your thing is, you have seen the hand of God move in a mighty way in your life and save you out of destructions, you know, and so you need to rehearse your own testimony. You can rehearse the testimonies of other people too, because he's no respecter of persons. If he did it for this one over here, he'll do it for you. You know, what have you been longing for a long time, but you've seen everybody around you, you go into the store and it looks like everyone has the very thing it is that you want and you're still lacking. But you know what? You know, he's no respecter of persons. And so, you know, you said you wanted a kid, you want a baby, but you haven't been able to get pregnant. He's able to do that. And everybody around you is having babies. He's able to let you be a parent. I'm not necessarily saying that it will automatically come from your body, but parenting is what you want to do. You know, he can bless you with a child of your own. He can bless you with a child of your own. You know, you need more money and you want a promotion, and other people have been promoted, and you have seen, you know, you have tightened up the areas of your life where you need to tighten some stuff up at work, you know, well, he can do that, you know, and so sometimes you just have to put him in remembrance of the things that he has promised you, put him in remembrance of the things that you have seen him do for other people. Now, it does help to know what season of your life you're in, you know, because if you are in a season where he needs to purge some stuff out, then it doesn't matter what you ask him, he's not going to bring it before you're ready for it. Delay. Know this, delay is not necessarily denial. He's not saying you can't have it. He's just saying you can't have it right now. And if he's saying that you can't have it right now, it goes right back to that lesson we were just talking about a little earlier, where you want to give someone something that they can handle, that they're ready for, so that when they get there, they can keep it. You know, nothing will be worse than you waiting all this time for something and God finally doing it, and yet you can't keep it because you don't have the character to keep it. You don't have the skills to keep it. You don't have the mindset to keep it. You don't have the behaviors to keep it, you know. And so he's trying to work some stuff in you, even as he works some stuff out of you. So my advice to you today is stop fighting him. I'm going to say it again. God is trying to work some stuff in you and work some stuff out of you so that you will be prepared for where it is that he's trying to take you. Stop fighting him. Just yield and go with the flow. Yield and do what it is that he's telling you to do. Submit to his will. And you do that by an act of your will. And you just say, you know what, Lord, I give this to you. I trust you with this. Yep, I know that I have had things blow up in my face before, but this, I'm going to trust you again. You know, if something didn't work out before, no matter how much it broke my heart that it didn't, I trust that there is a reason that you allowed it to be, because nothing happens that you don't, that your hand is not aware of, I'll put it that way, you know, that you have not allowed to happen, and that if you've allowed it, no matter how painful it was, there has to be a reason for it, and you can use it for your glory and for my benefit. I yield myself to you. I yield myself to you. I yield myself to you. And if you don't know what that word yield means, go ahead and look that one up in Webster. How about that? I mean, he'll have you meditating on some of that stuff for a while. There's so many things wrapped up in that little small word, yield. You know, so go ahead and call that as one of your assignments for the next week, that you will look it up, and then begin the process of yielding yourself to him. There are things that he wants for you. There's stuff that you are entitled to as a son or daughter of the Most High, you know, and he wants you ready and prepared for it. He wants you victorious in this life. And no matter how tainted your past has been, no matter how tainted your today has been, today is not the end of it. There is still breath in your body, which means you still have the blessing and the ability for a new beginning. It's not over for you. I'm going to say that again. It is not over for you. As a matter of fact, he clearly promises in his word that our latter years shall be greater than our former. And so, you know, no matter what took place in your life from today on back, it has no, it doesn't dictate what will happen tomorrow. And you have got to believe that. You have got to believe that. And there are people who think they have power over the decisions of your life. They have power over your life. But you know what? God is ultimately the one who has total power over everything. And his one word will cause it all, you know, to just stop. And I'm thinking about when the, Paul and some folks had gotten arrested, probably for preaching the gospel. I'm pretty sure it had to do with that. I don't remember exactly where it is. It kind of eludes me right now. But they had gotten arrested, and the guys were in prison, and they decided they were going to just sing praises to God. They were just, you know, they just decided they were going to just sing praises. And you know, I mean, like, no matter what time it has ever been, you know, anyone has been in prison, it's not an easy experience. It's not a pretty experience. It's not a comfortable experience. It can even be downright dangerous and deadly sometimes, depending on who you're dealing with. And yet they decided they were going to just sing praises unto God. And they sang praises. And you know what happened? The praises caused a miracle to happen. And they were literally able to just walk out of the place. You know, I mean, the power of God is real. People, the power of God is real. And so, you know, they could have cursed him because they ended up in this difficult place. You know, they could have given up all their hope in him because they ended up in this difficult place, but they decided that he was still God no matter what they were going through, and that they were going to just trust him. And he did miraculous things for them. And so, you know, no matter what is going on in your life right now, no matter who thinks they have the power to say yay or nay to you, ultimately, it is God. It is God. And I'm just putting my faith out there right now that he is getting ready to blow your mind with the stuff he's getting ready to do for you. You know, and folks that thought they were going to say no will open their mouths, and before you know it, they are signing the paper and they're saying yes. But they thought they were going to say no, because he says that he turns the heart of the king where he needs it to go, wheresoever he will. And so he is turning hearts in your direction right now. He is turning hearts in your direction right now. And things that looked like they were impossible are possible through him. All things are possible through Christ, who is your strength. And so you just hold on, yield to the process, do what he is telling you to do. There's a reason for it. Do what he is telling you to do, and sit back and watch the awesome power of God blow your mind. He is getting ready to do some stuff for you, and some stuff that you probably don't even have the faith to even hope for anymore, but he is getting ready to do that thing for you. And so trust him, you know, praise him, keep yourself as peaceful as possible, and do what he is telling you to do. He's trying to set you up for a blessing. He's not trying to hurt you. He is trying to set you up for a blessing, and he is working on all those little kinks and all that kind of stuff that's on the inside of you that will mess it up. So don't fight the process. Instead, yield to the process and let him be God. He alone is God all by himself, all by himself. And if he can make a universe, if he can make people, if he can speak something into existence, then surely he can speak a word and change the situation that you're in. I mean, just that quickly. One moment can change your entire life. One moment stands ready to show himself strong on your behalf. So know that people are praying for you. They're praying God's will for you. They're not praying their stuff for you. They're praying God's will for you. You know, they are beseeching God for you. And more than, you know, and just as much as he wants you to have these things, he has people assigned to you, and they are praying you through. So be strengthened, be encouraged. You know that if he said it, he will do it. He can do it. He desires to do it. He'll do it. You know that no matter what it is that you have done, none of that taints how he sees you. He still sees you exactly how he saw you when he created you. And as a matter of fact, you know, you might want to ask him to help you see yourself through his eyes, not through the eyes of parents who mistreated you, not through the eyes of, you know, people who said foul stuff about you, or, you know, bad situations that have happened. Ask God to give you a revelation of who you are through his eyes. It will blow your mind, you know, and just ask him to help you to walk in it. You know, it's not over. As a matter of fact, you are ripe for a new beginning. You are in the midst of a new beginning, a new beginning, a new beginning. This is your season for a new beginning. So believe it, receive it, yield yourself to what he's trying to do, and just walk it out. And know, beloved, that you are valued above all things, above all the stuff that he created. You are valued. You have the ultimate value and the ultimate esteem in his eyes. And he loves you unconditionally. And no matter what you've done, he wants you. He wants you, and he loves you. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and end, you know, but I hope that you all have had a great couple of weeks. I just needed to take a reprieve for a little bit, but I'm back. So, you know, hope that you are doing well, and, you know, and you are encouraging yourself, that you are encouraging other people, and know that no matter how difficult it looks right now, it is darkest just before dawn, but dawn is coming, and he is working things out for your good. I'm going to say that again. He is working things out for your good, and you can just relax in him and be at peace with him. And I think maybe I'll just end with this passage of scriptures here. In Philippians chapter 4, I think I'll start with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So prayer is asking God and talking to him about things. Supplication is you are giving it to God. Whatever it is that you talk to him about, now you're going to give it to him. So everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So give him some thanks. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of good rapport, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God will be with you. So again, what you, instead of worrying and fretting, what you're going to do is you are going to think on things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and that are of good rapport. And if there is any virtue and anything that's praiseworthy, those are the things that you are going to meditate on and think on while you are watching the awesome hand of God change your circumstances right before your eyes. Sit back, be prepared to have your mind just blown. What an awesome testimony you have coming, you know, and I can't wait to hear it. I know you can't wait to actually see it walking, you know, to walk it out, you know, but know that God is willing and God is able, and you are in the season for your new beginning. Be blessed, beloved, and you know what we do. Until next time, make each day a great day on purpose. Good night.